Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. Another one of those rare occasions where our intrepid producer, Darren Delosier, is letting me sit here in the host seat with me in studio today for our first hour, Father Vincent Serpa. But before we go to Father Serpa, in our second hour today, we are blessed to have in studio with us Dr. William Sears and his wife, Martha, internationally known child-rearing experts. And so prepare yourself now with your questions about rearing happy, healthy kids. But in our first hour, a regular feature here at Catholic Answers Live, the chaplain is in. Father Serpa, chaplain of Catholic Answers, we're glad to have you back.
Glad to be here.
On this blessed feast day of an American saint.
That's right. First American-born saint from the United States, yeah, Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton, founder of the Sisters of Charity here in the United States. And then, when Saint Catherine Labouré was living, she often spoke of the future and had a special gift with regard to it. Saint Catherine is the one who received the miraculous medal from
right,
our Blessed Mother.
Right, I've been to that chapel on the Rue du Bac,
mm-hmm.
And in Paris.
She was aware of the fact that the Blessed Mother had protected her community, the community of the Daughters of Charity and the Vincentian Fathers, from being harmed in any serious way during the French Revolution. But further, she initiated a reform, and the Blessed Mother promised that there would be more people joining their community, and that there would be one. From the United States that would already exist, but that would be assumed into the Daughters of Charity, and that was St. Elizabeth Seton's group. She founded it. She had a very difficult time. She was still she was a mother, had small children. She was a widow, a convert. Founded the first Catholic school in the country, and then founded a religious community as well. All this while trying to be a good parent. Not an easy thing for her to do. She was pulled in several directions, and she lost at least two children that died. Those days, it wasn't that uncommon for children to die easily. But it was still heartbreaking and very difficult for her. And she was a very courageous lady and stuck with it and accomplished a lot because she put the Lord first. Just reading some of the things that she wrote to her her sisters. Encouraging them, she was a deep person and very, very deeply spiritual, which is why she was so successful. And the first, as I say, American-born citizen to be canonized. So we're very fortunate to have this woman among our American saints.
And a fitting patroness for our hour today, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH is the phone number. The topic for the first hour is a regular feature we do here called The Chaplain is In. And what we're looking for, folks, here are questions that you may have about your prayer life, difficulties in your prayer life, making sense of suffering. Do you have a vocation? We all have a vocation, of course. How do I discern this vocation? Difficulties, perhaps, with your children. Maybe they've left the faith. How do you handle this? Relationship questions. So we're going to set aside today the strictly apologetic questions, the doctrinal issues, and we're going to focus on the pastoral, which, in fact, Father Serpa, is a great deal of the work that you do here at Catholic Answers.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And so people think of Catholic Answers as an apologetics organization. And yet we move into evangelization, but also in the pastoral work. Father Serpa, in addition to serving as our chaplain here at Catholic Answers, saying Mass for us every morning at 8:30, hearing confessions for the staff, takes phone calls regularly from people and answers emails regularly from people all over the world with pastoral concerns. So we're very fortunate to have you here, Father Serpa. 888-318-7884. The chaplain is our topic today. If you are having questions about your interior life, about making sense of suffering or making sense of joy in your life, then those are the calls that we want. 888-31-TRUTH, 888-318-7884. You know, Father Serpa, I have to remind you that you're very much the reason that I took this job at Catholic Answers.
Here we go again.
Yeah, this in fact is a true story. I guess it was about 5 years ago, probably about this time you called and it was at the time when Carl had offered me the position of director of development, and you called and said, you know, Chris, I really think you should take this job at Catholic Answers, and you've been shaking your head ever since.
Your words, not mine.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. The topic today is the chaplain is in. Father, what kind of questions have you been fielding lately in your work here at the apostolate?
Well, I do a lot of private stuff as well as answering questions on the Ask an Apologist. Lots of times it's struggling with faith or being confused about. In fact, I just had a phone call today, being confused about what the Lord is really calling one to do. Whether the person is struggling with the possibility of abortion, for example, and then not clear on it, and having had it made very complicated, and trying to deal with other people's rationalizations, and not sure what to do, and the truth is simple. When one is truly honest, life is far less complicated than sin makes it.
But there are those things. Sin, as you say, original sin. That cloud the judgment.
That's right.
Yeah.
And many times all people need is just to know the truth and from somebody who's convinced of it and is clear with it. And it always amazes me what a relief this is for people, you know, when it finally hits them and they recognize that they're stronger than they think they are and that they are not to allow such distractions or such rationalizations to enter in and make something complicated that really isn't. The taking of innocent life is just that.
Sure.
There's no excuse for it. You know, one cannot justify it.
And the enemies of life have attached all these attendant excuses to the question of abortion, you know, the health of the mother or the well-being of the child and these sorts of things, all of which, of course, distract from the
sure.
from what's actually happening, which is a homicide. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. My guest today, Father Vincent Serpa, the topic the chaplain is in. Please call with your questions about your prayer life, your interior life. Let's go to PK in Austin, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. PK, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm. We're here to help.
Thank you.
What hurts?
So, have you all read my question?
What I read here is that you're struggling with addiction and need guidance on where to go to receive proper healing. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of addiction?
Marijuana.
I see. Okay. And I assume is marijuana legal in Texas?
I think that's
not yet.
It's one of the few states it's not.
It's not. Oh, okay. Well, but I'm sure that this will be a problem in some of the states that have just allowed it. I don't think they realize how much a problem it will be, but I'm sure it will be. In any case, you want to know how to receive some help. Is that it?
Yeah, some healing.
Some healing. Are you familiar with the 12-step program?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm sure there must be one for drugs but if you I don't know what's available in Austin, but I'm sure if you checked with AA, they would be able to steer you in the direction of a AA type program, because it tends to be one of the more successful ones. Have you gone to your priest about it, or have you asked anybody locally?
I mean, I've gone to confession about it several times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, last year I gave it up on my own for 8 months, and I feel like I picked it up, and I feel like it's 10 times harder this time, and I don't know why.
Well, that usually happens, you know, when you relapse, and it's harder. It's harder, and that's why you really can't afford to stop, you know, to let yourself go with it. Are you able to attend Mass very often, you know, say during the week?
Yes, I go weekly, and sometimes, I mean, I'm on the choir for our church, and that's another guilt that I deal with, the fact that I know that I have a problem and I'm in ministry.
Well, you know, there are, you know, all ministers are wounded healers. Everyone has a cross.
Yes.
When I said weekly, I meant are you able to go to Mass during the week?
Yes, there's a Monday through Friday every single day.
Okay. It would be a good habit to start, because you need the experience of looking at the Lord, you know, recognizing that there's more to you than just what you're conscious of, you know, getting outside of yourself in a sense, and recognizing the reality that's outside of you. And that you don't have to do that to be at peace or to be happy, and certainly to pray to the Lord, pray to our Blessed Mother. If you have any particular saint that you feel close to, pray to that saint. The important thing, though, is to keep focused on the Lord and to be grateful for what you have, because the more grateful we are, the less needy we feel. And there's plenty to be grateful for, you know, the very fact that you're breathing, that you're talking to me right now, that you have faith, that you're able to receive the Eucharist, you know, actually touching God in a very real way, and His touching you as well. So I would advise you to check with AA and possibly with your priest as well. And I don't mean just in confession, but to find out if there are any programs that might be available for you in your area, and we will certainly be praying for you as well.
PK, we will be praying for you, and the one thing you want to be sure not to do is underestimate the power of the grace of God. Sometimes overcoming habits, it can be extremely difficult, and it can be a real struggle, but with the grace of God, all of these things are possible. And so Father Serpa's recommendations to you, that you avail yourself of daily Mass, of daily reception of the Blessed Sacrament, of the Rosary, of putting this in God's hands and trusting in His mercy, and with the grace of God, you will overcome this, and you can believe that that is true. Is that helpful, PK?
Thank you. That does. Thank you both so much.
We will be praying for you. Thank you very much, PK. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. The topic today is The Chaplain Is In. My guest is Father Vincent Serpa. We're going to go to a break.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. Jimmy Akin is here to help. His innovative new book, A Daily Defense, takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000. visiting Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpo. In John 1:38, when two of John the Baptist's disciples saw Jesus pass by, they began to follow him. He then turned to them and asked what they were looking for. They answered, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He told them to come and see. So they spent the whole day with him. Andrew, one of the two, left and told his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah." So he brought him to meet Jesus, who changed his name to Cephas, which means Peter. This actually is your story and mine. Before your baptism, certainly someone, in most cases the parents, recognized Jesus as the Savior and wanted you to be his follower. And with our great meeting with Jesus at our baptism, we received our name. People actually know who we are because we have been baptized into Jesus Christ. So like Andrew and Peter, we are Christians. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. With me in studio today, the Catholic Answers chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa. 888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH is the number to call to get your questions answered about the interior life, any struggles that you're having in your prayer life, understanding suffering, discerning a vocation, difficulties you're having with your relationships. So please call in 888-318-7884 and get some good sound pastoral counsel from Father Vincent Serpa. Before we go back to calls, however, it is my pleasure to introduce to all of you Mr. John Sorensen, who is with us in studio here. John, how are you?
I'm well.
John is the Director of External Activities here at Catholic Answers. So his responsibilities include all of our marketing, all the events that we do, the wonderful events, our conference, our cruises, all the events here at Catholic Answers, our summer series. And he is also in charge. The website, Catholic.com, falls under his care. And he has an important announcement about Catholic.com.
After a year and a half of toil and labor, we're finally going to be ready at some point this month, before the month is over, launch a totally redesigned, revamped Catholic.com.
This is exciting news. John, just tell us, give us a preview. Give us a sense of the great things that await in the completely new Catholic.com.
Oh, well, it's going to run a lot faster. That's one thing. But we've also decluttered the site. We did a survey a year and a half ago, as you know, and we asked people what they wanted to see, how we could improve the website. And one of the things that people that a lot of the respondents said was they would like it to be easier to navigate. And so we cleaned up the navigation. We removed a lot of the clutter. It should be – it's just focused on getting people answers to their questions about the Catholic faith, which is really the focus of the new website. So we're really excited about it. We've also taken the Ask an Apologist function will be moved from our forums, where it currently is, over to the front page of the website, where it'll be much more visible.
Yeah. Great, great. So the number one source for apologetics, Catholic apologetics and evangelization on the web right now, Catholic.com, is about to become vastly better, much more navigable, faster, easier to use, and more content than ever.
Yeah, people will be able to get in touch with Father Vincent a lot easier.
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't recognize and say that, in fact, the real power here, who's been working so hard for a year and a half, is Chuck Gallucci.
The awesome webmaster.
He's been looking pretty tired. Pretty dark circles under his eyes.
All-nighters. Doesn't
look like he's shaved in a while, but he is. It's going to be fantastic. All right, John, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks a lot.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. The chaplain is in. Julie in Portland on EWTN on the Presence Radio. Julie, welcome to the program.
Julie, thanks for taking my call.
We're glad to have you, Julie.
Well, before I get to my question, just really quick, I just want to say how much I absolutely love listening to the Presence Radio in Maine. Love, love, love it. I listen to you guys all the time in the car. I just recently became a parish ambassador for the Presence.
God bless you.
I just want to encourage anyone who's out there listening, if they can donate to the Presence. I also support you guys financially. It's so needed. You guys just bring
something
to radio that no one else does.
In fact, Julie, we encourage all of our listeners to support all of their local Catholic radio stations. If it weren't – Catholic Answers is a content provider. We produce the show. But if it weren't for stations like The Presence or all the other stations and networks all around the country, then we wouldn't be broadcasting on the FM and AM band. So, yes, support your local
Absolutely.
Stations, listeners. Okay, Julie, what's your question?
So my question is I'm raising three boys in this crazy world trying to raise them Catholic. And you know, I've taught their what we used to call CCD classes in the past, but you know, the age they are now, they're 8, 11, and 12. And when I talk to them about prayer, I usually get a blank stare back. And I'm just wondering, what are some good age appropriate tips for kids that age? Because like my 12-year-old will say, well, I talk to God and I never hear anything back. It's such an abstraction for them.
Sure.
So I just don't know if there were some good tips for that age group to like encourage prayer in their daily life.
8, 11, and 12, you have two boys and a girl, two girls and a boy?
Three boys.
Oh, okay. Three boys, great.
Well, first of all, it seems to me that prayer isn't something we so much talk about as something that we do. Family prayer is the answer, it seems to me. Grace before and after meals, rosary together. And the kids don't have to like it. I remember when I was young and we had the rosary on the radio up in the San Francisco area. And at 6:45, we would be kneeling down in the dining room and we would pray the rosary with the radio. And my sister and I always, you know, somehow found it necessary to go to the bathroom during that time. But, you know, kids will do that. But nevertheless, it was, you know, the need for prayer was there. And the fact that it was that important to my mother and father was important to us, too, although we didn't realize it at the time. These habits are things that we learn by that, you know. We learn common decency by the way our parents act, by what we know in our family life on a regular basis. We don't have to have intricate explanations as to how it all works. Now, the fact that they don't always feel anything when they're praying, that's not what's important. Our Lord doesn't ask us to feel anything. What he wants is us to pray, to acknowledge our need for him, because he deserves that acknowledgement. And, you know, in our country, our culture, we give so much attention to feeling, and we place it on a pedestal that it doesn't deserve. Feelings have their place, certainly. It's nice to feel good, but feelings do not prepare us for the decisions we have to make. They're like auxiliary generators. The emotions give us auxiliary energy. They give us thrust, but they don't determine what we ought to choose. That comes from our intellect and will. So, and our culture has it completely turned around so that people follow their emotions in making decisions, and it ends in chaos, because it's like putting an auxiliary generator in a ship and not using the rudder, accelerating the motors, and the ship just goes around and chaotically just wanders anywhere. It needs a rudder in order to direct itself. For us, the rudder is our intellect and will. That's what we need.
I'll just underscore that family prayer, and it doesn't have to go perfectly every time. But that family prayer and getting those habits inculcated in the young. And, of course, Father Serpa, there's that example of Blessed Teresa or St. Teresa of Calcutta feeling dryness most of her life.
Most of her life. That's right.
All right, my friends, we're coming up on a break. Stay right there. Keep it right there on that dial for Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In navigating the Tiber, how to help your friends and family journey towards the Catholic faith, Devin Rose draws from his own experience as a convert and Catholic apologist to help you guide your Protestant friends and family members on that harrowing river voyage. Not only does he equip you with the knowledge from Scripture, the early church, and Christian history, he shows you how to deal with the common aspects of a convert's journey. The river to Rome is unruly but crossable. Order your copy of Navigating the Tiber and help your friends and family have smoother sailing on their way to Christ's Church. Get your copy of Navigating the Tiber today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live. My name is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. My guest today, Father Vincent Serpa. The topic the chaplain is in, call with your questions about spiritual direction. Father Serpa, before we go back to calls, I have a special announcement for all of our listeners. Catholic Answers is giving away a free MP3 of a lecture, an audio lecture by Tim Staples called Evangelization, What It Is, and Why Do We Need It? And how do I get a hold of – I knew you were going to ask me this. How do I get a hold of this MP3? I'll tell you. Text the word CA Live to the number 44222. CA Live to the number 44222. CA Live, it's not case sensitive, to the number 44222, and follow the instructions to get a free MP3 of Tim Staples' lecture, Evangelization, What Is It and Why Do We Need It? Let's go to Sister June, listening in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, on the EWTN network on WQPH. Sister, are you there? Hello, sister.
Yes, I'm here. Okay. Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
And thank you for the great programming. My question has to do with a personal issue. After 21 years of formal religious life, I am now a religious solitary or a hermit, and I'm working as a church sacristan. And I find myself often conflicted because I know I should have more silence and solitude in my life, even when I'm working. But there are people who know me, and they want to talk to me, they want to get together with me, or they want to, or just, you know, socialize and whatever. And sometimes I feel like I'm not living, being faithful to the vocation. And I often, my question is, Father, I wonder what you think of what would you give priority to? Is the charity I owe to others, or to a rule of life and a vocation that I have espoused, you know, in relation to God?
Well, your vocation is still a vocation to charity. It's always going to be a vocation to charity because that's who God is. God is love. And so if there's somebody before you who is in need of you, and that's not conflicting with your vocation. It's the same vocation. Your reason for being living a solitary life is to the love of God, and expressing love for one of His children does not conflict with that. It's the same thrust. You know, God has put that person in your life. So even though we all experience that. You know, we think that. We know what it is that God want the direction which the Lord is calling us, and so we assume that it has to be a particular way. But God is full of surprises, you know. Contemplatives many times will have to show charity for people who work at the monastery or even for each other. You know, even Carthusians have to show charity to each other, and have to spend time in the service of their Carmelite brethren. There are certain positions within the charter house that requires that the monks serve each other. They take turns serving each other, you know, in the refectory on Sundays when they meet. So it's not going to be exactly as you imagined, but you know, God, we can't know the future. We can't know exactly what God has in store for us. We take each day as it comes, and some days may be more contemplative than others. But as long as we're in the service of love, we're fulfilling a vocation. The thrust of your life now is toward solitude. There's no question about that. It's just that sometimes there are going to be exceptions you didn't expect. But if this is what God wills, then you flex with it. And it doesn't mean you're being unfaithful to anybody. As long as you're being faithful to loving the Lord directly and directly to those whom He puts in your path.
Does that help put things in perspective, sister?
Yes, it does very much. Thank you very much,
Gloria,
Father.
You're quite welcome. Keep us in your prayer, sister.
I certainly will. And God bless you and your work.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to Anonymous, listening in Vista, California, on the Immaculate Heart Radio Network. Hello, Anonymous.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have an interesting question first, and then I'd like to talk.
Okay,
so my question is, what is your interpretation of a martyr?
Well, it would be what the Church, I think, has taught us. It's a matter of a martyr is one who is willing and in fact suffers for for what he believes in. Whether it's within the Church, of course, it's his fidelity to God, and usually a martyr is somebody who's died, who's shed his or her blood in being faithful to the Lord.
But we can speak, Father, also of sort of a daily martyrdom.
Sure, martyrdom. Yeah, those are kind of extensions of it. But but those only make sense because we know that a martyr is someone who's giving his all.
That witness.
Yeah. So,
what's your question, Anonymous?
Well, it's really a lot. I do suffer quite a lot physically. I'm in enormous amount of pain, 24 hours a day, and not by anything I'm doing. I actually was born with 4 physical deformities. And mostly spine and organs, and no one knows I suffer this much. I don't walk around telling everybody, "Hi, I'm Anonymous. I suffer from this." I have such a good and unique and deep faith relationship with the Lord that He still allows me to have joy and peace. But at the same time, I'm gravely suffering, and it gets in the way of me serving the Lord as well and as much as I want to. Like, for instance, I signed up for prison ministry. I was interviewed. I was accepted. But I couldn't get there because I don't have a car. And that's because I can't work because of the physical limitations, and I can't afford one. But if the Lord wants to put one in my driveway tomorrow morning, I'm happy.
Your sufferings are not getting in the way of your fidelity to the Lord. This is similar to the question we had just discussed. Your cross is whatever the Lord gives you, and we sometimes forget that we don't see the forest for the trees. if you're having a difficulty, if you're having a pain and that prevents you from going to do other kinds of ministry, well, this is your ministry. This is what the Lord wants of you at this moment. He's the one who calls the shots. He's the one we serve. And you're not letting him down by accepting what he gives you, whatever it is. He's constantly surprising us. And sometimes we don't recognize that he is as close as he is. When you're too ill to do anything else, that is your ministry. That is your way of expressing your love for God to God. So I wouldn't worry about that. Your fidelity to the Lord at any given moment is your vocation.
Anonymous, we do need to go to some more calls, but be assured of our prayers. Father, it would seem to me in those last two calls, there's a consistent theme, and that is, you know, really just making that decision to surrender to providence.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Unexpected.
But God is the perfect chef, and he knows exactly what we need to eat, right? Let's go to Tanya in Flagstaff, listening on EWTN Sirius 130. Tanya, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Tanya.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm in conflict with what to do about my son, who's 29. He, my ex-husband had an affair for 14 years of my 30-year marriage.
Tanya, I'm afraid you're breaking up. Are you on a cell phone? Hello, Tanya? Tanya, I'm afraid we lost you. Please call back 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Let's go to Kathy in Buffalo, New York, listening on EWTN 101.7 FM. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Father. Thank you so much for taking my call. I feel grateful that I can put this question out there.
Okay.
I have a question about spiritual direction.
Mm-hmm.
I would like regular spiritual support and am hoping to pursue that through a spiritual director, but I'm not sure how to go about finding one, and I'm also not sure, this might sound silly, but what qualifications I should look for. For example, I just, through the radio and other priests that I know, having someone that's a theologian is it's exciting to have someone to talk to that knows, that has that wealth of information. But I don't know if that's something that I should be looking for. So just how to really figure out going about finding someone.
Do you have a regular confessor?
No. In fact, that's part B of my question.
Okay.
I just moved back here. And mm-hmm. part B is, can those be one and the same?
Well, if they have the time. But I would start going to, find one that you feel comfortable with and then ask him for help in this, because he's local. He would know what's available. But certainly you can shop around in terms of confessors if you have more than one parish in your area. Shop around, as I said. Go 1 week to one and another week to another to just see what their personality is like and how you click with them. And if you find somebody that you feel comfortable with, then stay with that confessor and then bring up the matter of spiritual direction and see what he has to say.
Is that a good place to start, Kathy?
Yeah, I think so. Just wanted to know about the confessor. Is that okay if that's something I do in person?
Face-to-face? You can go face-to-face or behind the screen, however you want to do it.
Though if she does, if this man does become her spiritual director,
that would be a face-to-face relationship.
Sure.
But when you're just checking them out, you don't have to go face-to-face if you don't want to.
Sure. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Kathy, how's that? Was that helpful?
Yes, it was. Thank you very much.
All right. Very good. Okay, my friends, we're going to go to a short break. The phone number is 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. The topic is The Chaplain is In. I'm Christopher Check. My guest is Father Vincent Serpa. The show is Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
What do the Pharisees, pagan emperors, the Nazis, and the Quran all have in common? All were enemies of the faith who admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes, from biblical times through the 20th century, and draws from their words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. Rich in research and written with clarity and force, Hostile Witnesses is a unique contribution to Catholic apologetics, one that speaks with special urgency to a modern world in which the faith is once again under attack. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area.
In navigating the Tiber, how to help your friends and family journey towards the Catholic faith, Devin Rose draws from his own experience as a convert and Catholic apologist to help you guide your Protestant friends and family members on that harrowing river voyage. Not only does he equip you with the knowledge from Scripture, the early church, and Christian history, he shows you how to deal with the common aspects of a convert's journey. The river to Rome is unruly but crossable. Order your copy of Navigating the Tiber and help your friends and family have smoother sailing on their way to Christ's church. Get your copy of Navigating the Tiber today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Father Serpa, this hour is flying by, as they always do here. Mm-hmm. So let's knock out a few more of these calls. Okay. Mike in Gaithersburg, Maryland, listening on EWTN on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, happy to. I used to live in Bethesda, Mike.
Yes. I have a question, and the question is basically, we are a Catholic family, and my daughter is getting married in the Catholic Church. We recently discovered that the groom's sister is a lesbian, and is an active lesbian, and we love her very much. So we need to a little bit of guidance on how to go about it. We have had family reunions in the past, and obviously we didn't know about this until recently. And we don't know how to react to it in terms of should we continue to participate in the family reunions. And also the one bigger question for us is we feel very uncomfortable seeing the behavior in front of us. And also we feel very uncomfortable if we would have to have reunions at home in our house.
Do you have young children?
We don't have young children, but we have friends and other family members who do have young children, and that's my other concern.
Sure.
Well, you could certainly be friendly and charitable with them in at family reunions. You're not required to invite everybody to your home. Just be prudent as to how you do this. You know, just be friendly. But you don't. That being friendly at a family reunion doesn't mean you have to invite everyone to your home. I would just go with that. And it seems to me that I don't know that there's a problem yet. But your concern is that if you have a gathering at your home, you would have other people who have children, and you wouldn't want them exposed to that lifestyle. But I don't see that would be automatic. It seems to me that you can go to the reunion and be pleasant and not without inviting anyone to your house at all.
So, Father, it seems to me there's almost two questions here. One is the question of scandal of young children, and that one's fairly easy, I think, to dispatch. But the larger question is how does Mike how does he provide a Christian witness to this person and her friend? And without giving the impression, of course, that he's condoning a behavior, but at the same time, he doesn't want to not have any contact necessarily, because he could potentially be a conduit of the gospel.
Well, in that case, you'd have to get to know the person in order to be able to discuss anything with them. And you have to know them pretty well, because otherwise anything you might say might be misunderstood, and it could cause more problems than it would solve. But you said that you love her, then act in a loving way toward her, and see where it goes. You know, do it with the Lord's guidance. Be praying over this, and the matter of inviting her over to your home is a separate one, really, from what you do at the reunions. And I would say be kind and friendly.
Thank you for your call, Mike. Let's go to Teresa in Long Island, New York, listening on Sirius 130 EWTN. Teresa, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Father, I have a question about spiritual direction as well, which you briefly addressed with one of the earlier callers. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I've been considering seriously discerning a vocation, and I've never done spiritual direction consistently. I've met with a priest or two and didn't feel that it was the right match. And my question is, how can I be sure that my spiritual director is going to lead me, or how can I be sure that I'm choosing someone? Because based on my experience, I know a lot of priests. I work in youth ministry, and I'm very involved with the church. I find that there's such a variance in the way that they handle certain things based on when they were ordained or where they were. And they have different opinions even on things that I think are pretty black and white. So to think of going to someone for counsel to help me decide what my vocation should be, it's difficult for me to maybe put my trust in someone not knowing fully if they're going to be a little bit more conservative with the way that they think about things, or a little bit more liberal. You know what I mean?
What kind of vocation are you interested in? Contemplative, or a teaching order, or what interests you?
I don't think I would not a contemplative order. I was thinking maybe the Missionaries of Charity, a missionary form of religious.
Well, then go
life.
And see them. They're the ones who know what life they live, and then mm-hmm. you tell them how you are. You let them get to know you, and then see if there's a match. If not, then you might try another community. But you don't have to go through people who are not involved in giving vocational direction. Go to the what you're interested in, and they're the ones that can help you the most.
I'm pretty sure, Father, there's an MC community right there in Harlem, not too far.
That would be a place to go then.
Yeah.
Yes, I know that there is. I've called them before. I have never been there myself, but I've considered driving in or just speaking to them on the phone. So
I know they have come and see at times where you can go and live with them to see how they live. You know, and ask questions and so on.
Oh, okay.
This is something common with all the orders, Teresa. They do. They all do come and see visits, and so you can go and see exactly. That's what they're for.
Sure.
Oh, okay, great.
We'll be praying for you.
Thank you for your call, Teresa.
Okay.
Let's go to Anonymous in Jacksonville, Florida, listening on Queen of Peace Radio. Hello, Anonymous.
Hi, Father. Good evening.
Hi. What can I do for you?
Hi, Father. Yes. My quick question is that, when, for example, I go to confession, do I have to be detailed when I go to confession? Because, you know, there are many times that when I go to confession, I feel, of course, humiliated or embarrassed because of the sins. So, for example, if I go to confession and tell the priest, you know, I've hurt people, I offended people, or Father, you know, I have impure thoughts, you know, would that be okay, or am I feel like I am trying to hide something? But
well, you need to explain the nature of the sin, but you don't have to go into great detail about it. And if you're embarrassed, you don't have to go face to face. You can go behind the screen, so that shouldn't be a problem. And if the priest wants to know more, he'll ask you more.
So am I doing it wrong in a way?
No, it seems like you're doing okay. If it's a little embarrassing, know that the priest goes to confession also, and you know, you're a human being. We're all sinners. You know, so there's nothing different about you than from other people, believe it or not. Okay?
Is that helpful, Anonymous?
Yes. And can I ask a second question?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my second question is, my husband is a convert Catholic, and I see his strong faith, especially during consecration. And he always tells me that during consecration, that's how strong he feels the presence of Jesus. And I was raised Catholic. It's not that I'm being jealous, but how is it that I don't feel the way he feels?
Well, the thing again, the feelings are feelings. The what's important, what's going to get you to heaven is your will to serve him and to believe in him and to trust him. That's what's important. The feelings are really not that important. As we mentioned earlier, Mother Teresa went for many, many years without any kind of satisfaction in that regard, because the Lord wanted that cross from her. She gave without receiving. Each person is different, and people are different at different times of their lives. Your husband is still new to the faith, and it's a different experience for him. But I wouldn't worry about it, because you may at one time have the feelings that he doesn't have. The Lord knows what we all need at any given time. So I wouldn't worry about it one way or the other.
Right. We walk by faith.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
We walk by faith.
We walk by faith, yes, yeah. Father.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Anonymous. Let's go to Edward in San Angelo, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Edward, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are y'all?
We're well.
Okay, so, Father, I've got a question here. My fiance and I are planning on getting married, of course, but she is not Catholic. I am cradle Catholic. We also have a 2-year-old daughter who I want to baptize, and I want to marry my fiance through the church, but she is not Catholic. She is Baptist. And there is always conflict when it comes to our relationship about having to go to her church or my church. And she does not understand our way of faith. She questions everything into detail. And I just don't know exactly how to go about doing this.
Well, it would seem to me to have more children at this stage of the game is only going to be more chaos. It's unfortunate that this happened already. It doesn't, you know, this is the kind of thing that you have to have decided long before you have a fiancé, before any commitment or any is even considered.
I understand.
So I can't encourage you to go along with the wedding at this point. It just seems to me to be digging you're getting in deeper than really than you are now, and it's hard enough as it is now. If she doesn't want to baptize this child, you're going to have a lot of more problems if other children come. You need to you're responsible for that child now, but it doesn't mean that necessarily you need to get married.
It's unlikely under the circumstances that Edward has described that a priest would marry them.
That's right. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Well, Father, we've come to the end of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Great job, as always.
Thank you.
Will you give us all your blessing?
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. All right, coming up in the second hour, Dr. William and Martha Sears, rearing happy, holy, healthy kids. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back.